Good morning. Trust that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends. And even though Thanksgiving is over, we still have so much to be thankful for, and truly every day is a day of Thanksgiving. And so if you'll take your bulletins with me this morning, just a few things that we want to take note of. We do have our Parkridge Manor Nursing Home ministry this afternoon. That's at 3 o'clock. We leave the church at 2:30. This evening at 6 o'clock, we have our Sunday evening service. On Tuesday, we have both our men's and women's Bible studies. That's here at the church at 7. And then Wednesday, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. That's at 7 o'clock as well. As far as a Thanksgiving offering, this year we are taking a Thanksgiving offering to help one of our missionary families, the Silcotts, and they have some special financial needs that we can help them with. And we are taking that Thanksgiving offering up until December 5th. And so if you'd like to give toward that, go ahead and designate that on your offering, and that will be a real blessing to them. Also, I want to thank you as far as everyone that's had a part with last week's Thanksgiving meal and the services. It really was a blessing, and thank you for your help there, and truly we can thank the Lord for that. And then today is the last day for the Alpha Women's Center collection, and we collected diapers and baby clothes and wipes through the month of November, and if you take a look at that tote back there, you know, it is overflowing, and so we can praise the Lord for that. And so keep that in mind. Also be praying for the Inez Cummins family. Inez went to glory Wednesday evening, right around 10 o'clock. I was able to visit with the family and with Richard, her husband, and she did pass as she was sleeping, and so we can praise the Lord for that. Truly, you know, she had a lot of health difficulties there at the end, and so it is in many ways a blessing, but yet we will miss her, and the family definitely will miss her. So be praying for Richard and Brandon and the rest of the family. The funeral arrangements are there in the bulletin. On Tuesday, from 11 until 1, will be the visitation. And then right after the visitation at 1 o'clock is the funeral. And it will be at Hamilton's on Lyon. And the address is there, 605 Lyon Street. That's the downtown Hamilton's. And we'll be having a luncheon after the funeral service here at the church. And if you are able to help serving at that luncheon, go ahead and talk with Cassie Wilcox, because there is a need, you know, for some of the ladies or men as far as helping serving during that time. So definitely be praying for the Inez Cummins family. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Even as we think of the many blessings of Thanksgiving and the time with family and friends, and even as we have looked in Sunday school this morning at many passages that remind us time and time again how we need to be so very thankful for all that you have given to us. And truly, it all centers in the person of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for our salvation. Thank you that the moment that we're saved, that you give to us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. I do thank you that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can be thankful in everything at all times. I do pray that we'd be living our lives in such a way that we'd be always thankful no matter what may happen. And so I do pray especially for the Inez Cummins family, for Richard and Brandon and Dorothy and Ann and so many others that have been affected by this loss. But yet we do thank you that Inez knew you and that she loved you, that she was a born-again believer. And I do thank you that right now she is in a place with no more suffering. So we do pray for the family, though, because we will miss her. And I do pray especially for Richard as this is a loss on his part. But yeah, I pray that he would look to you. And so I pray as a church family that we'd support the Cummins family and that we'd be a blessing even on Tuesday as we have the luncheon and thereafter as well. And just thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to mourn as others who have no hope. And so even do thank you for today, for each one that is here. And do even pray for some of those who are not with us, whether it be for health reasons or other reasons as well. I do pray that as a body that we'd be united together in our thanksgiving, in our worship to you. We thank you for the Word. I thank you that by reading the Word, we know how we should be living our lives. So I do pray that even as we sing songs of praise to you, as we give, as we are encouraged and challenged by the Word, I pray that all these things would be glorious in your sight. So I do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
as we look forward to our time of worship together in song. We think of looking back at the time of Thanksgiving, and of course the thing for which we should be most grateful and most thankful is the Nativity and then the crucifixion of our dear Lord. Well, as we look forward to that time of the year, we think of not just Thanksgiving and being thankful, and hopefully you've gotten over your turkey and pumpkin pie hangover. Unfortunately, my hangover is still with me. But as you have hopefully had a chance to get over that, we will begin to look forward toward the time when we think about remembering our Lord's birth, and then, of course, recognizing that the reason He was born was so that we might be able to have life. He was born simply to die so that we could have life. And that's an important truth for us to remember. So we'll turn to hymn number 141. We'll stand together and we'll sing about that little town in which He was born, a little town of Bethlehem. 141.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, and we will be reading verses 1 through 17. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 17. And we read in verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Of the many names that our Lord is ascribed with in Scripture, one of which we just sang about, Emmanuel, literally means, of course, as you know, God with us. And it gives us the opportunity to be reminded of the fact that it wasn't just on the day that he was born in a manger, oh so long ago, that he is with us, but that because he is God, he is God with us, and that he is God with us today, just as much as he was here living nearly 2,000 years ago. And so we have the opportunity then to be ones who are faithful to proclaim that simple truth. And that is to where we turn next. Hymn number 145, O Come, All Ye Faithful. If you are like me, I hope you're not. I was just telling Pastor this morning, this is the time of year I used to enjoy much more than I do today. I used to enjoy this time of year. And of course, I love singing Christmas carols and the hymns that are followed with it. But I have a tendency to be Would cynical be the word?
Yeah.
Jaded a lot by the commercialism of today. And I hope that when you sing these hymns of worship, not just that they're worship, but they are truly worshiping Christ who was born so that he might die, so that we might have life. And I hopefully you remember that in amidst all the things that are going on, that all the things that are happening with family and with friends and presents and gifts and ham, whatever it may be, but the reason for the season is his death. Not just his birth, but his death. And that's to what we look. Now let's turn to the hymn that we have been learning, Before the Throne of God Above. You should have a copy of that in your flyleaf there of the hymnal. If you don't, simply raise your hand. One of our ushers will bring you one. And we'll sing that, Before the Throne. To worship the Lord by giving back to Him just a portion of what He has given to us. Brother Lester, would you lead us to the throne of grace?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your house, Lord, where we can honor and glorify you and sing songs of your praise, Lord. We thank you for all those things and the fact that you died on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven. We thank you and honor you greatly. In Christ's name, we take this offering to spread your word around this community and throughout the world. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
truly what a holy night it was. All right, let's turn to hymn number 349, and we'll sing about trust and obedience, 349. Turn over now to our final hymn of this morning. We'll go to 372. 372, Living for Jesus. We'll stand together as we sing. 372. as we get to the chorus. Okay? Now the instruments drop out. Here we go on the fourth. Thank you. May be seated.
Amen. The children can go downstairs for children's church. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that we have to be thankful for the blessings of Jesus Christ. And even as we sang some Christmas carols, and we do remember during this time of year the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we realize Jesus Christ was born to die. And it is because he died for us that we have salvation. And so I do even pray that we would be ever so grateful for our salvation in Jesus Christ. I do thank you that we are able to live a godly life because Jesus has died for us. And so I do even pray that as we look into your word that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be challenged. We do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and I'm sure all of us have had plenty of, what, turkey? Did you have turkey this holiday time? Or mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce, rolls, all types of good stuff. Pie, pumpkin pie, or cherry pie, or apple pie, whatever. We've had a good time, huh? We've had a time of blessings, whether we were able to spend that time with family or with friends. We had a time really to stop and reflect upon all that God has done for us. Not only as individuals, but also as families, as a church body, as a nation. God has given us so many blessings. And now that Thanksgiving lies behind us, the holiday, some of us perhaps may breathe a sigh of relief. Because sometimes holidays can be a rather strenuous experience. Because if you're the one in charge of getting the big meal together, and you're the one in charge of making sure the house is nice and tidy for all the guests that are going to be arriving, Thanksgiving can be kind of a hectic time of year, huh? And so now as we are here at the Sunday after Thanksgiving, now you can breathe a sigh of relief, perhaps. And because, you know, all of that stress, perhaps, hopefully is behind you, and maybe it's easier for us now that all of the hecticness, all of the busyness is over, at least the busyness associated with Thanksgiving, perhaps now is a better time for us to sit and ponder really all that God has given to us and all that we have to be thankful for. Last week, we looked at the blessings really that God has shown to us in Hebrews chapter 13. And we were able to look at the first six verses, and we're going to complete that this morning, Hebrews chapter 13. But even as we consider all that God has done for us, first and foremost, even as I have mentioned many times before, we have the blessing that is Jesus Christ. And if we ever forget what Jesus Christ has done for us, we're in bad shape. And so may we never forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. Are we thankful this morning that we have salvation in Him? Are we thankful that we have that hope that nothing can take away? That has to be our first and foremost thing that we give thanks for. Not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every single day of the year. And as we saw in Hebrews, In chapter 12, even as last time we looked at the final verses of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we found that we are receiving, as born-again believers, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It is an unshakable kingdom. And as we looked at those last verses of Hebrews chapter 12, we read in verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace," or let us have a heart filled with thanksgiving, grateful hearts, "by which we will serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." As we think about thanksgiving, all of the things that we can be thankful for, it has to start first and foremost with Jesus Christ. And then we realize we have so many blessings that comes through Jesus Christ. We have an unshakable kingdom that we are receiving. And we look forward to that day when we can see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and whenever we can reign and rule with Him. What a glorious day that will be. But here the writer to the Hebrews exhorts the Hebrews, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us be grateful, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So out of these hearts filled with thanksgiving, and I hope that your heart is overflowing with thanksgiving this morning, but because we have so much to be thankful for, we need to be doing something in return, in response. We need to be serving God in an acceptable way. And we need to be serving Him with reverence and godly fear. Because we have a God who is not only loving, but who is also holy. He is a holy and loving God. And He expects certain things from His children. And so we realize God has given us so much. And it all centers in the person of Jesus Christ. And so out of our hearts filled with thanksgiving for the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, because we have this unshakable kingdom we are receiving, then we may serve God acceptably, in a way that pleases Him, with godly fear and reverence. Now, how do we do that? Now, the writer to the Hebrews, he doesn't leave us guessing, because in the verses following in chapter 13, he lays down very specifically, these are ways that you can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We saw in the first six verses last week, what do we see? First of all, let brotherly love continue. Now, as long as we are on this earth, there is always going to be a place for brotherly love. As we are part of the family of God, we have many brothers and sisters. And as members of the same family, we look out for one another. We love one another. And so whenever one of our brothers or sisters is in a hard place, what do? We go out of our way to help them in their time of distress. Brotherly love must abide. It must continue. And then we go on in verse 2, "Do not forget to entertain strangers." Okay, so you serve God acceptably by being good to those whom we don't even know. And a specific way of doing that is to entertain strangers, show them hospitality. And then, an incredible thing here in verse 2, "For by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels." So even as you are striving to be a blessing to others, you yourself will receive a blessing. And sometimes it's just, it's mind-boggling. It just blows you away how God blesses you in a way that you never even expected whenever you step out in faith to be a blessing to someone else. That's a way that we can serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear. Also in verse 3, another concrete way as far as brotherly love and how that works out, "Remembering the prisoners as if chained with them, and those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." We all are humans. We all realize that there are difficulties in this life. There are hardships. We know what it likes to feel pain. And so we can associate with those who are going through hard times. And we need to remember them. And it needs to be an active remembrance. We need to be caring for them and lifting them up in prayer, encouraging them, even in a physical way. We come to verse 4. Another way to serve God acceptably is by honoring the marriage relationship. God is a consuming fire, and He has told us the ways that we should please Him. And the marriage relationship is something that is holy. And as born-again believers, we must respect and honor that marriage relationship, the sanctity of marriage. And then we come to verses 5 and 6. As we think about thanksgiving, we need to be content with the things God has given us. Don't let this holiday season just become a time where I want this and I want that. No, our lives need to be without covetousness, without the love of money. We need to be looking to the Lord and trusting in Him and having our all in all in Him. What has God promised? I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And the answer is, man can do nothing to me because God is all powerful. He's always there. He is my all in all. He is my helper. I will not fear. So we've seen some ways already that we can serve God acceptably in reverence and godly fear. But we want to continue on now and look at the rest of the passage, verses 7 through 17. Verses 7 through 17. We begin with verse 7, and what do we read here? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, we just noticed in verse 3 what they were to remember the prisoners. Okay, and that remembrance was an active remembrance. And so not only would they keep them in their minds, but they would go to the prison and bring food to them perhaps and visit them. But as we look at verse 7, it is a different word for remember. And I really do believe this remembrance is, you need to remember those people in your mind. Because as we will see later on in this verse, I believe that these ones who ruled over them, these ones have passed on. They no longer are with them physically because they have passed on. But remember those who rule over you. What is this talking about? Is it talking about the governmental rulers? No, I don't believe so. I believe that this is a reference to spiritual rulers, those who are leading them in spiritual matters. He says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. These spiritual leaders, how did they lead them? How did they guide them? It wasn't just by telling them their own opinions. This is what I think you should be doing. No, they spoke to them the word of God. And not only did they speak, they didn't just talk the talk and that's it. They also walked the walk. Because the Hebrews are exhorted, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Considering the end of their lifestyle. And so the Hebrews, they knew their spiritual leaders. They can look back in their history. And they knew these people personally. Okay, and they knew what they believed, what they had taught them. And they were able to watch them as they lived their lives. And not only that, I really do believe that these spiritual leaders had gone to be with the Lord at this time. And the Hebrews were now able to remember back upon those spiritual leaders and to consider the outcome of their faithful service to God. They had watched them day by day as they joyfully served the Lord, as they were committed to Him. And now they are exhorted, follow them, imitate them, because you know the outcome of their lifestyle. They served the Lord. They fought the good fight. They finished the course the way the Lord wanted them to. Remember those who have ruled over you, those who are your spiritual leaders, and imitate them. Even here at Nordville Baptist Church, we have a history. Okay, we've had numerous spiritual leaders, haven't we? And perhaps some of them you were very close to. And you were able to watch their lives. You're able to watch them as they joyfully serve the Lord. And some of our spiritual leaders in the past history of Nordville Baptist, some of those leaders have passed on to be with the Lord now. And we are able to look at their completed life, how they were committed to the Lord. And we can say, I want to be like them as they followed the Lord faithfully. Now, the message that those spiritual leaders preached, what message was it? It wasn't their own words. It was the Word of God. And the Word of God, it really centers upon the person of Jesus Christ. And we come to verse 8, and what does it say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That had to be the core kernel of their proclamation, the religious, the spiritual leaders of the Hebrews, that Jesus Christ, He is the source of your salvation. He is unchanging. He is the eternal Son of God who took upon Himself human flesh so that He might die in our place. And Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What the spiritual leaders had proclaimed to them, it was a message of an unchanging Christ. And they preached that message faithfully. And there have been years that have passed on since then. We've had countless generations of spiritual leaders, pastors, and evangelists and others who have proclaimed the message of the unchanging Christ. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That message has not changed. We still proclaim the message of the unchanging Christ. And we must continue to proclaim that message. We don't want to have novelty in the pulpit. We don't want to be preaching some strange and exciting message. No, we want to be preaching an exciting message, but it is the message that has been the same over countless centuries. It is the message of the unchanging Jesus Christ. He is the same 2,000 years ago as He is even today, and He'll be the same 2,000 years in the future. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sad to say, in the church, there is a desire for that which is novel, that which is new, that which is different. And I think that's why the writer said, yes, Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he goes on in verse 9, what does he say? Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And so, what we are to do, if we are to serve God acceptably, we are to follow the unchanging Christ. We are to proclaim that message of the unchanging Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But yet there are those in the church, those who infiltrate the church, and they preach something different than the unchanging Christ. And that was a problem with the Hebrews. There are those who are preaching something different. And so the writer here encourages them, he exhorts them, don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Don't be swayed by these other messages. Don't be swayed by these things that perhaps may seem interesting, but yet in reality they're nothing but falsehood. Don't be swayed by that. It is good that the heart be established by what? By grace. And what is grace? It is God's unmerited favor. Something that we don't deserve. And that grace is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Our hearts have to be grounded and established in that grace. And so we don't want to be swayed by those various and strange doctrines. You think about a tree planted by a river. Okay? And even though that tree may be upright, what happens whenever a big flood comes along? That flood can just sweep that tree away. Okay, we don't want to be like that tree that is swept away. We don't want to be swept away by these strange and various doctrines. We want to be grounded in the person of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. We must be grounded. Now, with the Hebrews, there was these strange and various doctrines, and I believe the Hebrew, we find here in verse 9 what it is. What was that strange and various doctrine? At least one aspect was with foods that have not profited those who have been occupied with them. I believe that this is the Jewish practice as far as you can eat certain things and other things you cannot eat. And as we look at the Hebrew Christians, they had their roots in Judaism. And so it would have been a temptation for some of them to say, I want to go back to the way I used to do things. I want to start observing those food laws again. But yet in Jesus Christ, all of that other stuff has been made obsolete. The law has been fulfilled by Christ. There's no longer the need to observe the food laws. But yet there are those who are coming in among them and saying, well, in order to be a good Christian, you need to observe Judaism. Okay? You need to do these things. They're saying, you need to be established in the practices of Judaism. That's how you please God. But yet, that's not where it's at. We have to be established in grace and nothing else. Established in the person of Jesus Christ. That's how we acceptably serve God. To know what we believe, to have our center and our ground in the person of Jesus Christ. And don't let anything else sway you from that. We have to believe in the person of Jesus Christ and be grounded in Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as we consider the Hebrews, they have that Hebrew background. They have that background in Judaism. And as you look at the Jewish faith, there were priests, weren't there? And what did the priests do? They offered animal sacrifices. And even as you look at the sacrifices, certain sacrifices the people could partake of. But other sacrifices, only the priests could partake of that sacrifice. And we read in verse 10 there, We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. So as Christians, and the Hebrew Christians here specifically, but to us also by application, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. And so those unbelieving Jewish priests, okay, they ordinarily could eat, you know, they could eat meat from the sacrifices, certain sacrifices anyway. But yet there's a comparison here. We as born-again believers, we have a right to eat from the altar that the Jewish people, the unbelieving Jews, they have no right to eat. What is he talking about here? The writer is really saying, we have the right to partake in the sacrifice that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. And even as Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have none of me. Okay, the writer is saying here, we have a right to partake of the person of Jesus Christ. We have believed in Him. We receive all the benefits of His sacrifice. And those who even serve at the altar right now in the Jewish temple, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they have no right to eat and partake of that altar that we have partaken of. We look at verses 11 and 12. There are some similarities between the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the animal sacrifices offered by the Jewish priests. There are some similarities and there are some large differences. But here we find a comparison in verses 11 and 12. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, the priests weren't able to partake of all the animal sacrifices. There was one special sacrifice, the sacrifice given on the Day of Atonement. And that animal, whether it would be a goat or whether it would be a bull, that animal, the blood was shed, and the blood was taken into the holiest of holies, and the blood was sprinkled there on the mercy seat. That was done once a year for the covering of sins. That was God's instruction to the Jewish people. Now, what happened to the body of that animal sacrifice? The priest couldn't partake of it. It was taken outside of the camp. It would have been taken outside of the city of Jerusalem and there burned. Now, there's a comparison here. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, He gave His life for us. He shed His blood for the sins of the whole world. But yet, where did He suffer? Where did He shed His own blood? Was it in the city of Jerusalem? No, it was outside the city. Because the Jewish people, those who rejected Jesus Christ, they said that Jesus was a blasphemer. They said that He was someone that was a sinner. Someone who was worthy of death. And so they brought Him outside the city and they crucified Him. We too, as we read in verse 13... Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. This would have meant something very special to the Hebrew Christians, because they were struggling. Do I want to stay true to Jesus Christ, or do I want to go back to the way things used to be? Do I want to go back to the old practices of Judaism? And here they are exhorted, let us go forth to Him, to Jesus, outside the camp. Let's go to the place of reproach, the place of shame, the place of scorning. Let us go to where Jesus was crucified, bearing His reproach. Let us bear upon ourselves all the scorn of the lost world. Let us identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. The Hebrew Christians, they must forsake the false teaching. They must forsake the temptation to go back to Judaism. And they must leave the city of Jerusalem. And they must go to Jesus, to the place of reproach and scorn. And for the Hebrews, that would have been difficult for some of them. But yet they must go to Jesus. They must take their cross and follow Him. That's what they must do. They must believe in Jesus Christ and live for Him, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It might be hard for some of them to be forsaken by the Jewish people, to bear their reproach, to leave the city of Jerusalem in a figurative sense. But yet we look at verse 14, And their home is no longer Jerusalem, is it? They have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Just as we saw, they were receiving an unshakable kingdom. They were looking for a city whose foundations were of God. And so we have no continuing city. We are just strangers on this earth. We are seeking the one to come. And so the Hebrew Christians, they aren't going to the temple anymore and offering sacrifices. They have something so much better. They have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice. But yet, even though the Hebrew Christians aren't going to Jerusalem and offering animal sacrifices, they aren't going to the priests anymore, but yet they still are offering sacrifices to God, aren't they? And that's what we read in verses 15 and 16. Thereby, by Him, by Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, confessing His name. So even though they weren't offering animal sacrifices, they are still offering sacrifices. And even as you look into the Old Testament, along with the animal sacrifice, they would offer a sacrifice of praise. They would be praising the Lord with their lips. Now, the animal sacrifices are obsolete. We don't need them anymore because Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. But yet we offer sacrifices to praise even right now. And what is that? It is as we use our mouths to praise Him, as we confess Him. And so as we sing songs of praise to God, as we tell others about Jesus Christ, what He's done in our life, whether it be our brothers and sisters in Christ or whether it's the lost world, that is how we offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And not only that, look at verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So what do I have to offer God? I have my mouth that I can use to glorify Him, to confess His name before the peoples. But also, we can do good. We can share. That's how we can serve God acceptably, in godly reverence and fear. We can offer sacrifices that God is well pleased with. We want to practice brotherly love. We want to do good. We want to share. That's what God desires. But then as we come to verse 17, we have one more way that we find here as far as serving God acceptably. We saw in verse 7, they needed to remember their spiritual leaders of the past. But now we come to verse 17. And what does it say? Obey those who have the rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. They were told in verse 7, remember your former spiritual leaders. Take note of how they served the Lord faithfully, how they fought the good fight, and imitate them. But now, coming to the present time, look at your spiritual leaders. And what do you need to do? You need to obey those who rule over you and be submissive. The Hebrews are exhorted, put your trust in your spiritual leaders. Have confidence in them. Obey them. Follow them. The Hebrews must submit to their spiritual leaders. Submit to their God-given authority. That is essential if they are to serve the Lord acceptably with godly reverence and fear. What do the spiritual leaders do? We read in verse 17 that they watch out for their souls. So in the face of all this false teaching, you can imagine there in the church of the Hebrew Christians, you have those that are coming in and saying, you need to keep the Old Testament law in order to be pleasing to God. And it is the duty of the spiritual leaders to say, no, don't be swayed by that. You need to stay true to Jesus Christ, the one who is our ultimate sacrifice. Be submissive to these rulers, because what do? They watch out for your souls. What does a watchman do? He's in the watchtower and he's watching for dangers, right? That's what the spiritual leader does. He watches out for dangers. He warns, he exhorts, he encourages. They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Spiritual leaders, they have been called by God. They have been given certain responsibilities, and they will be accountable to God for how they watch over the flock. They want to do what's right for the Lord and what's right for the church. And here we find the exhortation in verse 17. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so as the spiritual leader works within the church, really the nature of that work is determined by how the flock behaves. Now a flock can either trust the under-shepherd, and they can follow him and be submissive, or the flock can rebel against the under-shepherd and do what they think is best and start causing strain and commotion within the body. Okay, there can be either one of the... There can be one response or there can be the other. How does the flock respond to the spiritual authority and leadership of the spiritual leader, of the pastor? They can do one or the other. And that really affects the nature of the pastor's work. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so if the flock is submissive, if they obey, if they're following the leadership, well then the pastor can serve with joy. Okay? But if on the other hand the flock is rebellious and they start murmuring and complaining and they start following this aberrant teaching, this false teaching, and you know, they're going every which way, well then the pastor is still working within the church, but yet the nature of his work is different. And the nature of his work is characterized by grief. And here the Hebrews are exhorted. Let the spiritual leaders work among you. Let them watch over your souls with joy and not with grief. Now, how does it end in verse 17? For that would be unprofitable for you. So if the flock goes every which way and is unsubmissive and disobedient to the leadership of the spiritual authorities, well, they're causing the pastor grief. And it doesn't say, well, that'd be unprofitable for the pastor. It says that would be unprofitable for you, for the flock. And so what do you need to do? The writer of the Hebrews is saying, be submissive. Follow them. Let the pastor serve with joy, because that's profitable for him and for you. Don't be grieving him, because that's unprofitable for you. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving the under-shepherd. Don't do that. And so we've seen many things this morning. This is how you serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. So many things to keep in mind. The holiday season is upon us. There's this hustle and bustle in the air. But we need to take time out. We need to take time out during this busy time of year. And we need to focus on serving our great God. We want to serve Him acceptably, don't we? We can't just serve God in any old way that we want to. We want to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, knowing that He's a loving God, but also a holy God. Are we serving Him the way He wants us to? And we've examined here so many ways that we can do that, many ways we can put that into practice. May we this morning offer sacrifices of praise to God. Let us use our mouths and confess the Lord Jesus to the world. Let us confess to one another how He's worked in our life, how we have so much to be thankful for. But also when we go to our job or when we talk with our neighbor, let us confess with our mouth what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's a sacrifice of praise to God. Let us do good to others. Let us share with them, because with sacrifices such as these, God is well pleased. We want to serve God acceptably. Let us turn from ourselves. Let us focus on serving God and serving others. Let us do that this Thanksgiving time, this Christmas time. And so, Lord, we pray, may You be pleased with our sacrifices of praise. Heavenly Father, I do pray that we would be offering our hearts to You. We have hearts that are overflowing with gratitude, and we want to serve You. We want to serve You acceptably, and there are so many ways that we can do that. I pray that we would not be selfish, but that we would be sharing even our physical possessions with those who are in need. I pray that we'd be using our mouths to praise You and to confess Your name. I pray that we would be submissive in obeying those who are in spiritual leadership. I pray that we'd be not following false teaching, but that we'd be grounded in the person of Jesus Christ, realizing that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to honor You and to serve You. Help us to be all out for you. So we do pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Take our blue hymnals and sing in closing this morning, hymn number 387. 387, Oh to Be Like Thee. Let us stand together as we sing.
Desire this morning to be like Jesus Christ. He has died for us. He has given His own self for us. He died on that cross with the weight of the sin upon Him. He rose again miraculously on the third day. Wonderful, but with a wonderful display of God's greatness. We have salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. But yet God has saved us, not to just live for ourselves, but to live for Him. We have the desire to be like Jesus Christ. I hope we do. We have the desire to offer sacrifices of praise to Him. We want to serve God acceptably. I hope that is our desire this morning. Oh, to be like Him.
Reality that we have so much for which we can thank You. Not the least of which, as we have mentioned many times even this morning, is the death and resurrection, thereby providing a way to life for not just those of us who are in this room, but for every person who is living. Every one of us can simply choose to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And Father, if there is someone here this morning who has not yet done that, help them to see the need that they are a sinner. They're dying on their way to hell, and that the only way to life is through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And for, Lord, those of us who have accepted that simple truth and have made it part of our lives, help us to not forget that the goal is to simply be like You. That while that is a lofty goal, and while it is realistically in human terms unattainable in this life, we recognize that it is still the goal. You have laid before us the goal of being holy and of serving You with every ounce of who we are. And so, Father, we ask that You will drive us on, that You will help us to realize that we have not yet hit the mark, that we have a way yet to go.